Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott review Pride Merlot from California. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy. And tonight, I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
Everybody's talking.
Now. Anyway.
It's my prerogative.
Yes, Bobby Brown.
We were debating the validity of Bobby Brown as an artist, more than being a pop artist. That song does it for me.
It's a pop
It didn't artist. Do it for Rob, though.
No, it does not.
I like it. I like the beat. I like it.
You like the beat?
Lyrics, yeah, you know.
It makes me tap my foot. That's what you said.
I don't give a damn. What? Something like that.
That's not.
He's crazy.
Mm-hmm. He's trying hard to make it right. Anyway.
He is. Just, I knew the lyrics.
On tonight's show, we have a wine from California. But a little bit better than that. We have a wine from Pride Mountain Winery in Napa. And we have their 2017 Napa Valley Merlot. I'm sure anyone out there that enjoys wine, that knows wine at all, you have heard of Pride. Pride is a classic producer in Napa Valley. This is one of their classic things. Merlot, when I got into it, when I started in wine years ago, one thing that I first knew about was Pride Merlot. Now, Pride Cabernet, that was a figment of my imagination. Never found that. I've had that before. It's actually up on the shelf.
Yep.
A 2009 Pride Cabernet. The Merlot, though, is something I don't readily buy. I'm on their mailing list. I can buy every year. I don't.
Well,
I never do.
Well,
the shipping is not quite what it needs to be, and I normally can buy things on wine.com. And this time, though, Scott and I did. We saw their 2017 Merlot for $18.99 a bottle.
Truth is, wine guy saw it, drew it to my attention, and I immediately said, oh.
These are half bottles, though. $3.75. So we each bought six.
Well, and normally these are priced in the 30s.
Yes. And $7.50 is in the $60 range. $65 to $69 for a bottle of wine. Not really what we normally do.
Well.
That's okay. It's just Scott and I.
So when you can get $70,
mm-hmm.
half bottles for $18,
mm-hmm.
value.
It's an extremely good value. That's why we did it. And unfortunately, wine.com figured out their error, and now it's back to $32 for a half bottle.
For the same vintage.
Yes. And this is, let's just take a look here. It is mostly Merlot with a splash, 4% Cabernet added to it.
Nice.
It's on French oak, 40% mm-hmm. new for 14 months.
Okay.
So it's one of these things. I've had the Pride Merlot, I don't know, probably three or four times.
In the last week?
In antiquity.
Your half bottles.
In the last 20 years.
Your half bottles aren't going to make it very long, are they?
I've got four left. So, you know, there's that. I don't know. There's not really, I mean, okay.
I thought you only bought five.
About six.
Okay.
There's not a real need. And once again, it's Merlot. So it's not, if I had a 1.5 liter, I might hold it for 7 to 10 years. But these 375 is not going to do that with. I'm going to drink it over probably the next year and a half. I'm not going to drink anymore for a while. And there's a reason why. And we'll find that out as we go along. But it's a premium producer. Pride. Put them in the same breath as, say, Schaefer Merlot, Plump Jack, Paloma. All of those are high-end classic Merlot producers. Darouche, there's some other ones too. Duckhorn. Duckhorn is a little less expensive than Pride, but all of these are mainstream, well-known, high-end Merlot producers. I know that there's some other ones out there. I'm skipping over probably half a dozen that you're like, well, what about this? Shut up. Nobody gives a shit about your bullshit thing. Those are the ones. Schaefer, Pride, Paloma, Duckhorn. What else I say? Darouche.
They say you're crazy. You don't really care.
You know what?
That's Rob's prerogative.
Surprising this Heights never has done a Merlot. That's unusual.
Interesting.
But, yeah.
They're just not growing the grape.
That's true. Paloma, though, I will say this. Paloma Merlot, for those that haven't had it, go buy it. It's... Schaefer's nice, too. Schaefer is right on the same level as Pride, in my opinion. But Paloma might be that next step up. Paloma's really good. Really, really good. So, folks, we're going to take a break.
Spring Mountain District. Have on the show, I don't believe we've had anything.
From Paloma's Spring Mountain?
From Spring Mountain District.
It is. Spring Mountain District, there isn't this less expensive Spring Mountain District wine. There just isn't. It's a fairly damn exclusive area.
Inside of Napa.
Yeah. It's an AVA within Napa. It's not like even Rutherford you could buy $30-$40. Not for great Rutherford, but you can do it. Spring Mountain, you're not going to touch that. You're gonna be at 75 and above, period. Spring Mountain Winery is a wine that I've thought about buying many times, and I think right now it's about $80-$90. I might do it this year. Get 2 or 3 bottles.
From Spring Mountain Winery?
Yes.
Yeah, the
if you're going to buy from Spring Mountain, that's what you buy from.
Paloma, priced in the 50s and 60s?
No.
Yeah, I'm looking at prices right now, brother.
Where?
On winesearcher.com.
Winesearcher.com. Put your credit card in, and then the Russians will steal your shit. So.
Oh, it's the Benchmark Wine Group.
Oh, sure. Okay, comrade. So, folks, we're going to take a break and be right back as Scott gets a computer
Brick's
virus.
26 Wine.
Sure.
Bobby Brown Wine Company.
This wine is big success.
Mission Fine Wines.
Yeah, right. Here on the Wine Vault. Hey, everybody. It's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So the 2017 Pride Merlot. So some reviews for this wine. First of all, we're going to start off with Robert Parker. He gave it 93 of his points, and he wrote, containing 4% Cabernet, the deep garnet purpled color 17 Merlot offers up pronounced notes of plum preserves, baked blackberries, and black forest cake with suggestions of baking spices, licorice, and dark chocolate. Full-bodied, rich, and velvety textured, the palate is laden with dark fruit and spiced layers, beautifully defined by a refreshing line, finishing with great persistence. Then Jeb Dunnock, he gave it 90 of his points, writing, the 17 Merlot is a juicy, easy-drinking effort that does well in the vintage. Ripe black cherries, mulberries, white flowers, and a touch of damp earth emerge from this Palmerol look-alike. Okay. I've had Palmerol. We'll see about that. It's medium-bodied and has a sweet tannin and a balanced, already delicious style. Drink it over the coming decade. By the way, if you had a Palmerol look-alike from California, you're giving it higher than 90 fucking points. Just to point that out.
Just to point it out.
Not to speak ill of Jeb, but you're giving it higher than the 90 of your points. So,
I think Tim Atkins would be laughing at him.
It's just so funny. 90 of your points. It's Tim on the show. In the glass, though.
But at least Robert Parker finished with great persistence.
He persisted.
He was persistence when he finished.
Yeah. All over Tim. It's deep, dark. No. Your laugh is too intentional. It's just No, no, that's not my laugh. It's a little bit like that.
No. But my chest hair is naturally void.
It's waxed. Smooth as a baby's ass. No. Makes me cough. So, deep, dark, viscous in the glass.
It looks like a proper Merlot.
Sure.
In the glass, it looks wonderful. The legs are beautiful.
And slow.
There's a good amount of tartaric acid crystals. There was a lot of sediment in the glass, mm-hmm. or in the bottle, excuse me.
14.4% alcohol as well.
Now, in a recent episode, we did a French nearly 100% Merlot. It's the Ronin. And it did not have a proper nose. No. This has a nice Merlot nose. This is a nose that I would expect in a Merlot. It's still slightly subdued, but it's a nice nose. I would call it wonderful. I like this nose quite a bit.
Pronounced oak, blackberry, vanilla.
It's what happens when a wine has been properly oaked. The oak is in balance with the rest of the nose.
Well, yeah, it's not an outlier.
It's proper.
Scott wants to drink this badly.
This nose makes you want to drink it badly.
Mm-hmm.
So, Robert's been in his allocation of pride. I've not been in mine. I've been disciplined.
Mm. I said a bottle last night. Smoky blackberry. Chocolate.
Chocolate.
It's a chocolatey.
It's
wine.
It's got layers of chocolate. There's bitter chocolate,
mm-hmm.
and there's also like a mocha-ish chocolate as well.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's like a triple fudge chocolate cake. That's like, there's dark chocolate in there too.
Black forest chocolate, because that's what it is. Just like the review says. Yeah. No, it is. It is an abundance. If you like a chocolatey one, both milk, mocha, and dark chocolate, this is your wine. Yeah, it's a Robert Parker, a black forest cake with suggestions of baking spice. It's all there. It has a decadence to it. It really does. Last night I did a bone-in ribeye from Whole Foods, and I paired it with this. Actually, I did Becky on a cedar plank, a red snapper. I had no mango chutney, but
mango chutney.
This is an aside, but at Whole Foods they have red snapper fillets for $27 a pound. Okay, but you can buy the whole fucking fish for $11.99 a pound. And so the guy behind the counter is like, the fish weighs like a little under 2 pounds. He goes, well, you know, if you're buying the fillet, when you buy the whole fish, you're paying for the whole fish and you're only getting fillets. I went, yeah. But, dude, it's over half as much per pound, even if I'm not eating the head of the fish.
No. It's almost three times as much.
That's $27. This is $12 a pound. Even if I'm not using, even if you're,
so would
18 bucks.
Would you do
cedar plank, salt, pepper?
No. At the store, did you buy the whole fish and have him butcher it?
Yeah, he filleted it. Right there.
He didn't care for that, did he?
Well, they offer it. He goes, "How would you like it filleted?" Well, you know we have. Yes, I know you have that. Now shut up, dummy, and fillet my fish, or figure out what you're fucking, or use your brain. So he spent 5 minutes filleting the fucking thing. It's like, don't charge $27 for the you filleted it.
Did you get the head and the carcass to cook? Dude.
Not doing stock.
Dude.
I don't do fish stock, dude.
Dude.
No, I declined.
Fish cheeks.
I'm okay.
You could have baked it and done fish cheeks.
I like fish cheeks, but nobody else would do it.
I'm surprised by that because, you know, you do so many different cooking techniques that are slightly less than lazy.
I know.
But you had, so did you buy a whole fish or two whole fish?
Just one.
You should have bought two whole fish just for the point of it to make him fillet two whole fish and have paid less than.
Well, it still would have been less than everyone. Because they had like
a pound of fillets. Like a
3-pound fillet. And I don't know how long ago they filleted it. I know that they filleted that fish right there. So it's like, why would I pay you? That doesn't even make sense, dude. Seriously. Well, you've already. Well, we had to fillet it. Yeah, you're filleting that, dummy, for $11.99 a pound.
Oh, but dude. Two snapper heads, fish cheeks, and then you bake it off. Then you turn into stock and do like a shrimp boil with it or something.
Do a shrimp boil. But it was
such
like
a baby.
But it's like, dude, gosh. Did you do the math? It's like that's 12. That's 27. I don't understand.
Back to the one. Dude, that's actually that's probably pretty damn good value.
Yeah, it's ass, and why wouldn't I just have you fillet those, yeah. Dummy? It's like, dance for me, fool. it's like firing a gun at his feet. Dance, funny. Dance, funny man.
Dance for Rob. Would you be his partner?
Seriously.
Please dance with Rob.
At that much, I was going to scale it and fillet it my fucking self at home for that much money difference. I didn't care. Then when I found out, like, how would you like it? I'm like, you're going to do it? Okay, stupid. Okay. Hey, dummy, fillet it. Well, you know we have it. Yes, for $27 a
yes,
pound.
Yes, you do. Would you fillet my fish that I'm going to buy?
Hey, dummy, fillet it for no extra cost. Fucker. Stupid prick. It still would cost more to do it that way. Jesus Christ.
You know, we can make much more profit if you buy the $27 a pound fillet that we've already filleted last night.
If that was $18 a pound, it wouldn't make much sense, now would it? But it does. It isn't. What a dumbass. Jesus Christ. It's called math. Math is hard.
You know what's not hard?
Your
Pride,
dick?
Pride
oh.
Merlot.
Okay, yeah.
No, that's... They're freaking driving a nail with that. What the hell are you talking about? I just had Pride Merlot spit across the table at my hammer and nail reference. He just spit.
Why it's on the back of your iPad, too.
Jim, we should be on YouTube.
Nobody's ever done a spit take with Pride Merlot. That's boozy. That's bougie right there. Oh, my God.
Oh, we've reached an all-time low.
You might want to wipe the back of your iPad off.
Well, you know, it's evidence.
It's like a Jackson Pollock painting over here.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's an expensive Jackson Pollock painting. But,
Pride's expensive. It's not Jackson Pollock.
Oh, good God. It's amazing how much a spit take can actually make a mess. So what you're saying about your day?
Drive a nail with that. It's not a problem.
Okay. That's just unnecessary.
Oh, go to sleep. Stop it. Put it down.
So, is that a Deb impersonation?
Go to sleep. Go take a cold shower. Anything. I don't want to be disappointed two nights in a row.
Oh, Lord.
Lord have mercy.
You know what's strange? When I was in California, we never went to Pride. I don't think it was open because it was like New Year's. I don't believe it was open. We would have actually toured it in Paloma and Plumpton, but they weren't open.
You know, it's interesting. Plainly it says Napa on the label, but
they also have some Sonoma.
Wine.com says North Coast.
What?
That's what it says.
I think that they have a vintner's blend or something like that.
Well,
which...
I'm looking at the vineyards. Ah, the vineyards Merlot.
Yeah.
No, that's what this is.
Oh, that's wrong. It's not from North Coast.
Yeah, I think this is wrong.
They've got a lot of wrong things on there because they also had the wrong reviews on the half bottle. They have the 18 reviews on there. It's not from North Coast. Although Napa is from North Coast. See, that's the thing. Look at that. It actually is 56% Sonoma, 42% Napa on that label. Okay? This is all Napa. I'm not sure what they have going on there because they do have a version of Pride Merlot that is that Sonoma Napa blend, but this
Pride
one isn't.
Mountain. No, this is the Mountain Vineyards.
Yeah, but this one isn't that. So I don't. Yeah, see, then go back to the 17. The 17 is Napa. The 18 is a blend, slightly. That's the difference. They do it both ways, and sometimes it's just for. You know, how
they're open minded, they do it both ways.
Mm-hmm. My god, the fabled spit take.
Jesus Christ,
I know.
Well, you shocked yourself.
Never done that before. Well, folks, we're gonna take a break.
You're just a clap, dude. You're just off your game. I just knocked you completely off your game.
Well, actually, let's stop.
One
before we take a break.
Oh, well, let's take a break. No, before we take a break,
we're going to, everything that we taste within this wine, Scott.
Ooh. I like this game. And, you know, so you have to start with the chocolate. And you have to distinctively differentiate between the different chocolates in there because there are different chocolates there. I'm going to start with a bitter chocolate. Like a chocolate that's so... dark, it's bitter chocolate.
Mulled blackberry.
Mulled. Explain what you mean.
Like
by
a spiced blackberry. It's not pure blackberry.
Mulled.
Yeah, mulled. Not mold. Mulled.
M-U-L-L-E-D. Like mulled wine, mulled blackberry.
Like a spiced blackberry.
Okay.
Muddled slightly, you know?
Okay.
Not stewed, but because who stews a blackberry?
Who mulls a blackberry?
Nobody, but that's what I'm talking about. It's a spiced blackberry.
You're making shit up.
It's a blackberry that is just a little bit muddled. That's why I call it a mold. I like that term. I'm going to use it more often.
Need any nails hammered?
Well, there's some trim nails. You probably can handle that.
Baker's chocolate.
You're just going through the chocolates.
I'm going to go through the chocolates. It's freaking impressive.
See, I'm leaving you the chocolates.
It's fucking impressive,
I'm going
son.
Outside.
There's a herbaceousness. It's like, it's probably, it's like...
hints of
oregano or marjoram, something like that.
Hints of cedar.
I like the cedar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
well, tannin. And there's also also an unripe plum. The mouthfeel overall is an unripe plum. For those, I mean, just slightly fleshy.
It's slightly tart.
Yes.
With that chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have with a chocolate silk pie. You have a little cinnamon there. There's a little cinnamon there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, to live with a cinnamon girl. I could be happy the rest of my life with the cinnamon girl.
What about a turmeric girl?
I don't go for turmeric in this one.
I want to live with a nutmeg girl. No one ever sings that. So, folks, we're going to take a
Neil
break.
Young certainly didn't. I don't think we're all the way through the flavor profile here yet.
Could be. You have some more chocolate.
How about
now? It tastes like Milky Way.
How about black pepper on the finish?
How about it?
Vanilla?
Well, vanilla, there's toasty oak all the way through it. That's part of the cedar.
Are we going to finish the game or not?
Well, go ahead. It's not a game.
You're tiring. You're fading.
It's also a little bit of cherry.
This is fantastic, folks.
It's very good.
And truly, yes, we got a value, the 375s for $18.
Mm-hmm.
This is a wine that shows you why occasionally you need to put back some money and spend some money on a little more expensive bottle of wine. This is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
This drinks like a $70 wine. Easy.
Okay.
Note to self. Listen to our show. We're going to talk about different wines. This is one. You want a special wine for a special time, or you're going to buy a gift for someone that loves red wine.
Gift is a great thing, partly because everybody that knows wine knows pride.
Even if they don't, but they love red wine. This is spectacular and worth every penny at full price.
Yeah, probably. And by the way, the cab is also pretty good. Once again, we're not talking about any of these wines. We're not talking about wines that are going to score 97s, 98s. No. They already have a set marked in demographic that buys them. They are going to be consistent. They're not necessarily review darlings because they've already been established. You're going to see 90s, 92s, some 93s.
I know, 93 is a great score, folks. Mm-hmm. And
that's a good score. Now, their Cabernet is good. It's very good. The 09 I had a year and a half ago. I'm not going to call it the greatest wine I've ever had. It was good, strong. Held up over time. Did well. As a line, they have, obviously, their Cab, their Merlot, Claret, Syrah, Viognier. I believe they have a Chardonnay, I think. And then they have reserve lines that go up and up. And, I think they top out about 150, 160, which isn't too bad for a premium wine producer. So, if you're going to collect something, Pride is always an interesting thing to collect because it's accessible. I'm on their mailing list. I don't buy it partly because it's not cheaper to buy it through them. You can't buy the Syrah normally outside of that or the Viognier, but I don't buy Syrah and Viognier.
You don't buy Viognier in general.
No, and so it doesn't make a lot of sense.
I don't drink white wine.
But beyond, I guess that's me.
I don't drink white wine.
Well, you don't drink Viognier either. But nevertheless, it doesn't. The value isn't through the mailing
Viognier
list.
Viognier in my fridge right now.
Very impressive. So, folks, we're going to take a break. And be right back here on The Wine Vault. So on tonight's potpourri, I am going to ask a very simple question of Scott, which I rue because it won't turn out to be as simple as it should be.
There's rabbit holes and there's rabbit holes.
What wine? What one wine?
Ooh, what one wine?
Do you dream about purchasing in 2021? What will mind you dream about purchases in 2021? Pride is not allowed to be the answer or anything Turley. Scott.
There's a couple of dreams. I've got a couple dreams.
See, I make my dreams.
I have
true.
A dream.
That's don't appropriate that.
I'm not appropriating. I'm yelling that I have a dream. I have multiple dreams. Not all of them are moist, but some of them are. You know, I have issues. I'm on the keto. Sometimes you got to run to the bathroom fast. I'm about to be moist. I have a dream about, you know, since Rob procured this deal, this 375 ml deal for Pride, I'm obsessed with finding a deal on a Magnum. A collectible Magnum at a good price.
Yes, but you actually,
I think I'm going to find it.
What winery? What exact
I don't
wine?
Care. I just want a 1.5 Magnum collectible to freaking batch buy and
they have old they have old vintages of Klein Ancient Vine Zin you can buy for $31
or Hall Napa for three
way
times
much.
What you yeah
no well screw all that not the glitchy shit a real wine
you know what
that I, you can actually think of
what I always dream of buying that I love and you don't care for it as much as I do but I love the White Coat from Turley. It's just
that's
like
no I said not Turley.
When it's released
not Turley.
I just love it. I just love it.
Something
I love it.
Other
I love
than
it.
That.
I love it. And I won't say Australis.
No.
Cuz I've already got that.
Just one vintage?
Yeah, well,
how
maybe,
ordinary.
Maybe more than one.
Maybe not.
If I could dream a dream. You know, there's nothing wrong with putting back a bottle of champagne, right?
There are very few that you can do that with, but go ahead.
So, which bottle of champagne would I like to put back?
This would be good.
Because I don't really know.
If I could pass you a card that would help you along.
Would you pass me a card?
No. What is this name of this champagne that you know?
I don't know champagne.
I obviously. Go ahead.
But it'd be nice to have one.
Would Andre?
Put back for.
Cooks.
Well, just a sellable bottle of Dom.
Oh, Dom Perignon.
Right?
Oh.
Can you hold that back a little bit?
Depends on the vintage, but more recent ones, yes.
And because, one, you have the name.
You
but wouldn't want to
buy Dom Perignon?
Well, but again, if you could.
What about Rotor Estate's La Hermitage?
We do love Rotor Estate. But the point is, it's easy. It's not particularly persnickety on how you cellar it.
Well, that'll be your secret.
Come on now. There's the Pinot Reds are much more persnickety than champagne.
Okay.
Right?
You're asking me if you're right.
No, I think I'm right. Okay. Am I correct on that? Champagne's stable. The ones that are cellarable are relatively stable.
No, I don't know that.
You don't?
I don't know anyone that collects champagne. There are people that do that. They're very interesting. You know why they collect champagne? Because they've already bought everything else, so they ran out of shit. So now they're on to champagne.
Well,
I've already bought the Burgundy and the Bordeaux and all the high expensive California Cabernets. I even bought all the Australians. So now I'm on to champagne. I mean, it's like... You have to be on your way. James Bond, he does that. But
Would
you like a 1964 bottles of Dom Perignon? Only if it's chilled at the proper temperature. I mean, that's where you're at when you're there. I mean, it's not it's not like I dislike champagne. It's beautiful.
One or two bottles.
What
to put back? Why not?
Because you're gonna spend $200 on a bottle of Dom Perignon.
Why not?
At your local Kroger?
No.
Where are you going to get it from?
Well, Corrado's.
Why don't you get some White Star? That'd be good for you. It's demisec. It's a little sweeter.
White Star?
Mm-hmm.
White Claw?
No, White Star is... Do you know who makes Dom Perignon? Out of curiosity? And a mocking curiosity?
Why don't you tell us?
Moët Chandon.
Correct.
You didn't know?
I was just checking.
And they, yeah, right. They make White Star. And what is their other... What are two of their other ones?
I don't know.
Obviously.
I already said I don't know champagnes. You asked me what my dream was. I'm dreaming.
You don't even
openly.
What is the what winery does a bottle that is hand painted in flowers?
You ask me to show my vulnerability, and then when I do, try to destroy me for it. I won't let you destroy me. I won't let you destroy me.
Oh, Yoshimi. They won't believe me. But you won't let the robots
crazy
defeat me. Yoshimi.
But I don't give a damn. It's my prerogative.
No, no. An interesting one is
What are the other two? What are the other two champagnes that Moët Chandon makes?
Brut Imperial and Nectar Imperial.
Hmm. Which of those would you go with?
The Brut Imperial.
Okay.
Is
that ageable / collectible?
No.
Okay.
It's non-vintage. You got to remember, non-vintage.
We don't want non-vintage.
If you're going to do something that's Bollinger Groot Aunier or Salon, I've luckily in my past, I've done vintage champagne wine tastings. One of them I did was at, it was like in a school, it was like a community college schoolroom. And we were at like desks. It was ridiculous. And at that tasting, there were several non-vintage or vintage ones that no one would know except for, I don't even remember them. But a couple were Salon. That's $200 and some dollars a bottle. You might know this next one, Scott. Rotorer Cristal.
Hmm.
Yeah, you've done that. You've heard that. We'll see. Paul Rouget.
Hmm.
But yeah, the Cristal is very nice and it's very expensive. But Salon is just amazing. I mean, it's an amazing, amazing wine. I'll never get over that. If I was gonna buy something in that range, I would buy Salon way before I would buy Now, Dom Perignon had a really horrible track record for several years. It was just bullshit.
Yeah.
It ain't bullshit currently. It's not. It's still so. It's
still expensive.
Well, it's expensive, but it's also, you can buy it everywhere.
It's accessible.
Yeah. And you don't buy things. Cristal is accessible.
Yeah.
I don't.
It's a little overrated.
It is overrated. Ace of Spades. I've had that too.
Yep. So,
which is terrible, by the way.
But back to the original question. And it's not so much a dream. There's two. So there's something. I need to add a couple vintage ports. I don't have any in my cellar yet. I'd like to collect, not necessarily year to year, but some St. Henri Penfolds. Mm-hmm. But
those are good priced wines for things that are extremely ageable. They're about $100, but that's okay.
But, I mean, you know, the things that are ageable that I've been buying have been mostly Chateauneufs.
Which is, for a bang of your buck, that's not bad.
Pretty damn good. And
yeah.
And I... tasted the La Solitude, and winery has a different line of Chateauneuf, so I'm trying to be widespread in the lot that of that maker. And you know, that's it. Those aren't so much dreams as plans, where, you know, your question was dreams, and that's where I threw out the couple bottles of collectible champagne.
Well, last year
I do that? Maybe. Now that I've openly talked about it, way my pea brain works, I'll probably fucking do it just to do it.
I'll probably expand my Bordeaux.
But it's similar to mine. That's really not a dream for you. What's your dream? What's your dream, son? Dream big.
I make my dreams come true, though. I don't go into the ultra. I've already delved into the ultra premium, but ultra premium. I don't delve into that. One thing I've been buying several of is the Ridge line, the Pagani. Mm-hmm. Those aren't dreamers, but they're still fun. Although I balked at buying Geyserville at 50. I just won't do that.
You're so silly.
I'll buy Litton Springs at 44, but I won't buy Geyserville at 50. Yeah. I don't know. Slow down there. Pump your brakes. That's asking too much.
We buy Turley at 75.
I don't buy Turley Litton at 75. Springs. You buy Hain, though, don't you?
Well, there's other ones. Well, 60. Uber Ruth.
It's 50-something. I don't count shipping. I don't buy that every year. I buy that often.
Foolish.
I like it. It's a very good
foolish
one.
Foolish not to buy it every year.
Yeah. But, a dream.
I met a new friend that I turned on to Turley.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're out there, Miss Yerses, hope you tried the Turley. I hope you like it.
I gotta think about what I already have as opposed to what I would want to buy.
See, this is not dreaming. This is thinking. Go with your gut. Throw something out there. Be wild. Be crazy. What are you dreaming about buying in 2021? Not what you're planning. What are you dreaming about buying?
I make my dreams come true.
What's in your subconscious? What is that? A Disney owl? What the fuck is that?
No, it's you would know it. You were part of it. I don't know.
No, that was dun 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 dun.
That's obsession.
Dun 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 dun.
If I had to say,
sleep, you're my possession.
Yeah, if I were going to. Like, it really, from a short-term salarying standpoint, simply because it's not something that I mess with that much, it would be more obtuse Zinfandel purchases.
It's fun. You've mocked me saying that Zinfandel's really, it's not one of your top five wines, but but what are you talking about now and why are you talking about it? Because it's so much fun. It can be so many different things. And let's be honest, there's a lot of good producers out there too. A lot of crap producers, but a lot of good producers. And yes, the premium Zin producers, the prices keep creeping and creeping and creeping up. Not like cabs.
No, Lord, no. Although,
not like cabs.
Have you seen Dark Matter Zinfandel? Like $240 a bottle?
Yeah.
They have lots of vintages available.
No, but they do.
Jesus Christ. What the fuck is that?
But I think
you got to have some balls of steel. It's like two sisters that own that winery. You've got to have some big fucking balls to say, you know what? We're going to charge $250 for our Zinfandel. What the hell, man? Nobody does that. Well, that's just good dumb. No, not good for them. That's a dumb price.
Well, but good for them. If that's what you're going to do, then...
What is it? 30% cocaine?
Yeah.
It's 10% fentanyl. So basically... Yeah. I mean, you got to be getting some sort of a hand job for that
something.
Kind of money. I mean, you know.
Reach around. Something.
Something. The bottle. You buy... We have a wide neck bottle, so you drink all the wine, and then you can fuck it. I mean, there has to be something there.
Pinch my nipples.
So, folks, we're going to take a break, but we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. We'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So the 2017 Pride Napa Valley Merlot. We're going to start off with the unlicensed taxi driver who will give us a numerical score. Scott.
Yes, I'm here. Wondrous. Textured, layered. You know one thing we didn't talk about?
What's that?
The mouthfeel.
It's got some of that.
It's... It coats your tongue almost in a... Sometimes we just use this characteristic and it's a negative thing. But I'm going to say almost in a syrupy manner.
Yeah, no, I agree.
This is... It's a thick coating on your tongue and it's... I think that aids in the distribution of those flavors like the chocolate.
Sure.
Because it's so long that you're in contact with it. What's the best part of that about this wine? I don't know that you can say what the best part of this wine is because it has so many wonderful features. For me, the thing that stands out so much is you've got chocolate, different flavors, different layers, and how the chocolate... It's gone and then it comes back on the finish. Have we had a better oaked wine than this? It escapes me in a long time. What's a wine that has a better demonstration of proper oaking than this? I'm at 92. I'm 92 all day. It'd be interesting to see what this is in 4 or 5 years.
What's your range?
92, 93, 91, and 93. Mm. Could this be a 94? Stretching.
On to me, folks. I enjoy this wine. I've had it a lot. Just had it yesterday, and I had it today. I am at a 90. Let me explain why, because Scott just popped up. You thought I was better than that? I think that the wine is a good expression of Merlot. The oak is a little prominent, but it keeps itself in check. It's a little bit toasty, a little bit charred, but not too bad. That being said, I don't believe it's as long as I would like it to be. It's not as mind-bending as I would like it to be.
Well, but...
If it did not cost what it cost, I would say this is an excellent Friday night wine, but...
Robert, you've been avoiding me.
I don't care.
This is Dr. Schwartz.
But it's not as memorable as it could or should be.
You...
But I think that, as you see, a 92 and a 90, that's what the quote-unquote professional reviewers reviewed it, and I think that there's something there. I also think that it's going to speak to different people differently. I mean, if you're a little chot, no. I was more impressed the first time I had it. This is the third time I've had it, or a fourth. You remember it. It's distinctive, and it's very good. It good when you have a charred ribeye. That's a good wine to have with it. But that being said, when you say this is a great wine with a charred ribeye, that means right there, it's got some toast, it's got some smoke, and it's got some good weighty fruit. I'm not saying that I want to do it with a mushroom risotto or a saffron rice, anything that's complex. I'm not going to say that.
Ooh.
Because it's not as complex as it could be or should be.
Oh, my Lord. We mentioned 14 different items in this.
You did. I didn't agree with all those things. But
what?
That being said,
you cut the conversation short.
That's because it was boring me. But
this
wine isn't designed to be that. It's designed to be a perfect pairing with a charred bone-in ribeye, which it is. And you know what my favorite steak cut of steak is? A bone-in ribeye. So that works quite well. Last night I was saying, what am I going to drink? Well, the only thing, because I didn't want to drink another bottle this quickly after I drank the other one, but I went, There's nothing more perfect than what I'm eating tonight than that wine. I guess I'm drinking that wine. And you know what? A bravo to Pride. But then again, they're always a bravo. They're always good and solid. I think certain people are going to find certain vintages more attractive than others. Scott likes this more than me. That's fine. You know what? The first time I drank it, I would have given it a higher score than a 90. But I'm on 3 bottles now. Or a bottle and a half of real bottles. And I've just been more accustomed to it, more used to it. And it doesn't shock me or necessarily elicit that initial response of, oh my gosh, I'm shocked by it. I've seen it before. So that's why I'm at a 90.
This isn't sex. This isn't like the first time you had sex, then after you've had it a couple times, like, oh, that's what that's like. This is a really, really good wine.
Yes,
folks.
It is. But a 90 is a really, really good wine.
90 is a really good score.
That's what it is.
But you've underscored it.
I haven't, Scott. It's not worth a point more than that.
Oh, Lord.
I would give it an 88 to a 90.
Oh, my God. Now you're just being insensitive.
To you? Absolutely.
To the wine.
No, the wine is solid. It's a good wine. It's in the Hall of Fame, by the way. I'm even going to put it up on the shelves because it's Pride. Going to put it next to its the cab. I like this wine a lot. I am very glad I bought 6 bottles of it because I'm enjoying it. That being said, I'm not necessarily thinking about something I'm going to collect or hold back. It's not that.
Hmm.
But it's good. It's really good, Scott.
It's really good.
So someday we'll drink the 3 palms from Duckhorn and find out how good this is compared to that. And we're like, well, why the fuck do we ever give that? I ever give that a 90. But for today, it's not the truth. It's a good solid wine. It deserves it. Bravo. Hall of Fame. That's Pride Merlot. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. I know Scott enjoyed it a lot more. But after he's had his 5th, 4th, 3rd, 2nd, and 1st, I think he's going to see what I'm talking
about. In 6 years. When I hold it back properly.
You can hold it back. I'm going to hold it back the other form. I'm going to drink it anytime soon, probably. Maybe. But, Scott, quite frankly, as you drink those other ones, you're going to see what I'm saying. You know? But you know what? After 3 bottles and 1 last night, giving it a 90 ain't half bad. That's just where I'm at. And that's me, not just tonight. That being said, I will say this. All 3 bottles, exactly the same. They differed nothing. But also, I've never decanted them like I did this one. It didn't show more decanted than it did when I was just pouring it straight from the bottle. Didn't. So. That also suggests a little bit about your ageability thought. So
I don't know about that.
Well, science. Nevertheless, folks, a 90, a 92, Hall of Fame for Pride Merlot from Napa Valley. So, for Rob the Wine Guy and Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, we are going to bid you adieu. But we will see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.